Basic Bananas.
Hi and welcome back to Basic Bananas Radio. Today I've got someone with me actually. I'm sitting in a hotel room in Melbourne, in a very classy room with Anne Miles. Hi, Anne.
Hello there.
And Anne is the founder and director of International Creative Services, ICS. And the reason why we just had lunch and then I said to Anne, we had some really great discussions about creative work and how to get the most out of working with creative people and how to get your project done the way you want it to be done and consistent with your brand. And so we had this really great discussion and then I said to Anne, it would be really great to share what we've just discussed with you, the listener, because I think you would really take away a lot of insights and tips from Anne. So I grabbed her. I said, let's go to the hotel room where it's a bit more quiet and we have a discussion. So let's first off hear a little bit about Anne and her business and what she does every single day. And then we'll get stuck into the process. She's got a couple of really great tips and ideas about that. So Anne, if I can just ask you a little bit about your company and also what you do at ICS.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks. So International Creative Services is my business. It's a bit of a new thing in the industry. It's a little bit like an advertising agency when you're not quite ready for a full-blown advertising agency with all those massive overheads that come with the whole mix. Also, the cool thing for the way that I work is that we believe in project managers that multitask. So, you know, the producers also manage your account. They are quite creative as well, so there's very hands-on, and we work across platform. So we're kind of like a big advertising agency's production team out by ourselves, and we handle everything from television commercials, branded content, web, anything digital, and also print and press. So there are some specialists that plug into each of those roles, but that's the unique thing. So it's a bit of a shaking the tree a little bit out there.
Mm. And it's very effective because you cut out a lot of the middle costs, which are not necessary. So it's a very effective model. Now, we spoke a little bit about how do you work with designers or web developers? And I know we'll go a little bit further back where to start before you even start working with someone. But I talked to you about how a lot of our members, a lot of our small business owners that are in the Basic Brands community, they go out and they work with a designer or a web developer or someone to help them with their creative work. And they come back often with not exactly what they wanted or just not happy with the whole process, etc. So I told you about, you know, those some of the horror stories that I see every day with our small business owners. And so I wanted to just ask you what your process is to help them out, to help someone. So you might be listening and thinking, yeah, I need to create a new brand. I need to upgrade my brand. I need a new website. I need help with some flyers or copywriting. So how can they go about it to get the best result?
Yeah, sure. It's a really good question, actually, because I do see it go off track, even with really big brands. So I've, you know, worked with all scale of brands from, you know, small to medium business right through to big corporates. And funny enough, the same thing happens. Even the big corporates do the same thing too. So a lot of times I think people go, I need a designer or I need a TV commercial or I need a thing, but they do forget that all of it has to tie in with the overall brand message. Also, I think that a lot of people think that if you're a designer, then you'll make it work for every single execution. And I think then they, and sometimes they think that that designer is actually thinking bigger than just that one single execution, and they're not. So I would say before you do anything and even talk to a designer is you get the strategy right. So I run a process I call strategic production. So yes, we need to produce something for you, but let's think about the strategy behind it first. Mm. And I guess being in production for 30 years and also now being trained as a business coach and I guess with some neuro-linguistics in there as well, like for me, it's really important that you, you know, work out what your brand business problem is first.
I love it.
Yeah, so it actually is unusual, believe it or not, to actually think like this.
Really? So that's so funny because I would never start anything without, but that's because, you know, I come from an advertising background as well. But two points you make. Well, first of all, this makes my heart sing when you talk about these things, because I would never approach anything without having the strategy behind it and having thought the process through. And the second thing that he said is, like, even a lot of the bigger brands, you know, like corporate brands that we see out there, they often get it wrong.
Definitely.
And I oftentimes, I don't watch TV a lot, but when I do switch on TV to watch some stupid show like The Voice or something ridiculous like that, and I see some ads, I go, wow, like some companies are really wasting their money.
Definitely.
And really off-brand too.
And I've been feeling really conscious because I really care about how people are spending their money. And some of the jobs I work on, you know, the smaller ones might be, you know, $10,000 exercise, but there are others that are up near $1 million. And, you know, they can be so wrong even at $1 million. And you think, why are they spending all this money? That's just so off track.
Exactly.
So I think there's a few things that I would suggest for a smaller business to think about what their strategy is. I think there's, you know, there's a, I've forgotten the name of the guy now, who, and Apple are a really good example of this first, is you work out, like, why, the why of, you know, what you're in business about. So I think that's about your values and your the thing you care about. If you don't have that behind anything that you do, then I think you're just a little bit blowing in the wind. So beyond that, then there's an exercise that I do, is I get you to draw a drawing that represents the key offerings or the benefits or the services that you offer and pull them together in a unique way. So say, for example, I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head, but maybe it's even for me. You know, there's digital, print, there's television. We're all in the one place.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to represent that as a diagram, it would be three circles all interlinked. Mm-hmm. And because we're, you know, close together on the ground, compared to big agencies where all those departments are siloed, that's a really unique position for me. And then there's, you know, strategy that runs between them all so that they all link together. So for me, that's, you know, possibly three circles all interlinked. So every business will have their own combination. It might be, you know, four triangles, one after the other, that suggests a flow. So you start here and you end here.
Let's try them. For example, I'm just thinking about somebody who might be listening to apply. Let's try a chiropractic.
Yeah,
practice.
Okay, cool.
So what circles would they have? That would,
yeah.
But what I'm probably seeing here is, like, even like bigger words, like, you know, one would be health.
Yeah.
Then one might be nutrition if they also help with that. Maybe one might be mindset.
Definitely. They would all piece together, and maybe the one thing that might make them even more unique by adding in something else might be a care program that they have that is – you know, they actually follow up with interviews or phone call after. There's, like, a certain amount of personal care that they you might not get somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that care program is the one strategic link between all these different areas.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
So you can either come in and just get your back cracked, or you, sorry, chiropractors, I know you don't like the way that you don't talk like that. We have a lot of chiropractors in our program, so I know they don't like that. But it could be, that could be the strategic link, the care program that links together the physical adjustments and then the mindset and emotional, etc.
Yeah.
So that could be one of the links that
keeps it together. Yes. Yeah. And sometimes it's the other things, like it might be that you deliver it online, or there might be, you know, a certain amount of face-to-face and you train that people to be able to do it themselves, or whatever the unique the unique offering is there. Then collect up those traits into this diagram. And then from there, I recommend strongly that you then find a way to express those key elements into a one-sentence explanation. So if you can get it down to 7 words, then you're doing well.
Yeah.
Every now and then someone has to, you know, slip to 10 or a single sentence. I think that's okay.
Have you got an example?
So, again, if let's make up the chiropractor. So if you were to say perhaps it's also, you might say you're a chiropractor and you only work with people who have back problems and they work in an office environment.
Mm-hmm.
So you might then, that's getting very niche, and I'd recommend that as well. So it's going a niche within a niche within a niche kind of thing. So you would be able to say, you know, we specialise in back pain for, we're a chiropractic service that specialises in back pain for white professionals.
Yeah.
White collar professionals, not white professionals. It's not racist, but...
neither do you know.
No. But, and so that's getting very specific. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's a bit of your elevator speech. So what you can do from that is then have a creative expression of that. So that's, I'd call a strategic positioning line,
mm-hmm.
and that's your point of difference. But then you would have some creative come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it might be spine smart or something in that area, and then it would have, you know, the illustration that went with it made it obvious it was for white collar or, you know, something like that. And at least all of your copy and anything that comes out of that is briefed is, like, very strategic. So I would also like to suggest if you, you know, we're talking about naming a bit here as well as moving it on to a creative brief to execute an individual communication, if you can, make sure the name has, you know, what it is that you do in there. So I think that's really clear. You know, Spine Smart is you specialise in in spinal care. That's a good name.
Yeah, and that's another discussion we can have even on another episode, because the whole naming thing.
Yeah.
And because I actually obviously am also a big advocate of names that don't tell you what it is, because Basic Balance doesn't tell people what it is, but it's been a huge success story. But it takes a bit more work to position your business if you don't say what it is. So we have to work a bit harder on using taglines and things like that. But we can maybe talk about the naming.
Yeah,
I reckon we should do an episode about naming, because maybe you and I have some different opinions about it, which makes it an interesting discussion.
I definitely think there's a time and a place for both.
Let's talk about that. Cool. But I quickly want to recap also the process so far, and then what's the next step. So you say, the first thing, which I'm very big on too, is get clear on your why and your values. And the why, especially, like, I just love that conversation about what's your why behind your business, the values, the mission, what are you out to do. The second thing was to put your key areas and maybe key differentiators into some sort of a model, whether it's circles or a flow, a process, or a pyramid, depending on your business. I love how you're quite flexible in that sense, because not every business has the same approach to that. And then the third thing is you take that model and you come up with your 7-word statement. So in what do we do? What's our positioning statement?
Yeah, cool. So then that becomes, you know, a really helpful thing for the brief, for any creatives to come up with a strap line or a, you know, marketing positioning, branding, look and feel or anything like that. So the next thing I would recommend you do is, you know, perhaps it's a bit of a vision board of what kind of other brands are out there that fit with where you want to go. You know, I think that needs to be done within a certain amount of sensible thinking about what's relevant for your market. And I think this is the biggest thing of all I would love to say out of today, is take your own subjectivity out of it and choose an approach that fits with your brand as an independent thing. Like, almost think of it as if it's not connected to you in any way, it's not showing off your personal preferences or taste, or you know, whether, oh, I love the colour pink, so I'm going to go with pink. And it actually happens quite a lot where people do that. And even, you know, in a bigger corporate sense, you know, the taste of the individual marketing manager on the job often does steer the creative in the wrong way. So you do have to step out outside of it. So I would say do the vision board, find the other references of other people who've done things similar, collect them all up, and show the, you know, when you get ready, you can show the designer what you like and don't like about it, but in the context of your brand values and, you know, your positioning. Make sure you set like a colour palette and then always stick to that. Set a font and stick to that no matter what. Even in emails, your invoices, like every single thing that you touch, that it is consistent across the board.
Yeah, I'm really big on that as well. Just you know, Crystal always laughs at basic bananas because I'm a little bit anal about it, and I know it's a little bit, bit of a rude word to use, but I'm using it anyway. Yeah. You know, often because we just use for just communication and via email, documents, keynotes, Word documents, invoices. We always use Arial, and whenever I get something that comes back in a different font, I just send it back to the team member, and I'm like, "You're gonna use the right font, or I'm not gonna even read it." And it's really important. And you can probably just work with a designer to come up with your colors and your style guide and your fonts, etc.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, make sure that it's not just their own taste as well. So I would say you may not be able to choose the fonts if it's an early stage until you get a designer on board. So choosing the designer is going to be the crucial thing. So I would say once you've set this look and feel of where you want to go and what you do, then you can start then thinking about the suppliers that would be a good fit for you. So it's actually a little bit harder than it seems, because I think a lot of people go, "Oh, I need a designer," so they just go to the first one or take a reference from someone else. "Oh, do you know a designer? Oh, I need one of those." Mm-hmm. As if they're going to solve everything. Mm-hmm. So every designer has their own taste and style, and they've taken briefs from clients that have, you know, steered them into a certain collection of work. So definitely look at their work, and they're pretty much, if they're not online these days, I wouldn't even bother, because that's where it should be. And just look at the themes that are across all of their work and see that they fit with where you need to. And I would also get a ballpark cost from them first, just to say roughly what does it cost. Mm-hmm. Because there are, you know, I have thousands of different creative suppliers on my database, and there are some that I know can do, you know, good work at a low cost, and then there's others, you know, that it'd be wasting your time to even bother with them quoting, because it would be way out of your ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, on the other hand, you know, you might be tempted to go cheap, but then actually your work is compromise. So there's a sweet spot, not just in the look and feel of it, but what budget level and what you get for it.
I agree. And I always say to my guys, it helps to work with someone who gets marketing a little bit too.
Yeah.
Especially if you do websites. It helps to work with someone who understands marketing, so you don't just have a pretty website, but you have one that actually also does something that works for you. Yeah,
no, I totally agree with that. And I think there's a lot of people out there who do websites, and there's a lot of people out there that do print, but I think that's where I feel I'm particularly passionate about, is making they all talk to each other. These days it has to be fully integrated, and I think going to one place by themselves independent, they have their own interests in mind. Often some are really great, but they, you know, and that's as good as it'll get, because they only do websites. And so then they'll mess with your brand to fit with the structure that they've got, or their own templates or their own process. They're not really thinking about the whole thing.
Yeah, I agree. So a tip from you for our listener is to, if you need to work with a designer or web developer, go have a look at what different people are doing, because they have different styles, different design styles, and then get some ballpark figures. And I agree with you, it doesn't always pay to go for the cheapest ones.
Mm.
Often, actually, it's not a very good idea to go for the cheapest ones, because then you will just end up paying more and more and more, because they might give you a super cheap quote, but then they don't actually include a lot of the stuff that comes with it.
Mm.
And that's a really frustrating process. But you also don't need to go for the most expensive one.
Yeah,
you know, I agree with you, there's a bit of a sweet spot in the middle. You don't have to go super expensive, but also I don't recommend going cheap, because I've seen so many stuff ups where people just go way too cheap, and then designers really can't deliver on their promises.
It doesn't last, and you have to do it all over again.
Yeah, and then you just waste not only your money, but also a lot of time, which doesn't really make sense. Now, once they've selected someone to work with, what's the process to then manage that person, the creative person?
Yeah, it's funny, because even now I'm going through something on my own branding at the moment, and I think there is a common theme where the designer wants to run away and, you know, go and do their own thing a little bit. So I'm actually, you know, having to do this all the time myself. So I think it's having that, going back to your core vision of what is your look and feel and what elements you set up front as your business kind of, I guess, creative strategy. Keep going back to that. You know, right now I had a designer that thought it would be a nice idea to freshen my logo, but and he's come back with, you know, being very good with his initiative, but he's, it could be very easy to just swing and move into what he's done because it feels, you know, fresh and new. And but he is deviating from my brand that he's getting established now. So it's just about keeping going back to what's my core look and feel,
mm-hmm.
what's the, I guess, the references and the vision that I set for it. What have I got across other platforms that needs to remain consistent and how do they tie in? So if he is changing, well, if we agree to change something, am I prepared to do it across everything? And if you're not prepared to do it across everything, I would say then it's just you're better off sticking to, you know, where you were and making it in the flavour of that whole thing rather yeah. than have one thing totally different than the other out there.
Yeah, and sometimes you can go a bit overboard with, you know, so many business owners that I see, they sometimes just keep innovating on their brand rather than actually getting out there and getting clients and implementing other marketing systems. And sometimes you just, you know, like with your brand too, you've got a really neat brand. It's really professional. It doesn't really need an upgrade just now. So it's like, again, that's you right. could use that time and energy and money to actually do something else. And that's exactly. sometimes a bit of a thing that I see happening with businesses because it's easy to just keep innovating and making things more beautiful, but sometimes you just got to stop, look at what you've got, if it's, you know, satisfactory and it's professional, just stop and go out there now and apply what you've got.
So I think that's at the bigger level, higher level, and then there's probably to keep the job on track, I think there's a few other little detail-y things that would be helpful to remember. I think a lot of people forget that, you know, the copy needs to be filled in each of the places that you go and how much content that you're delivering affects the overall look and design of the whole thing. So if they're copywriting, then, you know, you will need to be really super clear about, you know, what that brief is to include and be really detailed, like even if... and actually this is a really good technique that someone, a designer that I worked with recently... So he was wanting to build a website, for example. So he said, think of it like the, you know, the menu page. That it's like when you look at the back of a website, it has like the headings and what's in each page. If you build that first, then you know exactly what needs to be put into each element and then go into breaking up the detail after that. But totally step out every single thing with every detail that you think needs to be in. If anything, it can be culled and condensed later by a good copywriter, but definitely flesh it out in full first and then have it as a document for people to follow.
Yeah.
And do it yourself first because you know your business better than anyone else.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. When we do creative work for our members and we only do it for members, we never start a project without having copy. Yeah. And whether it's just a rough first draft or something that we have come up for them, we don't even get started without knowing roughly what's going to be on there because you need to take it into consideration and you can waste a lot of time on a project when you don't have all the assets, all the ingredients.
Yeah, definitely. That's collect a really them all good up. Tip. Yeah. And then I would also suggest then when you're looking at feedback is collect up all of your feedback in one go and because you pay per round of revisions and you usually only get two rounds at that, so I would say if there's any partners in the business or any feedback from staff or anything like that, do it in one go and then, you know, finalize that yourself and send it through one burst. I think the other thing is just again not that subjectivity, like if you're not your target market, then I think you should not apply any subjective feedback over it. I think ask around and, you know, on bigger scale productions, we'll actually run focus group research and online research now and get feedback about that market, whether they resonate with it or not.
Yeah.
And there are really smart ways to actually do that now. You know, for bigger scale businesses, you can have online feedback for 100 people for under a few $1,000. So that's really, like, the big guys are doing that. So it's the same for small business, just scale it down and ask around. Even stop strangers in the street that are in your market and say, what do you think of this?
Yeah, exactly. We have a lot of people that are getting a website done or something new done, even a logo or a new brand, and then they just post it on the forum You know, we have a little forum on, with all the members, and they just say, hey, this is my market. If you're in this market, say moms aged between 30 and 50, can you check my website and give me some feedback? And if you don't have a forum, if you don't belong to a group like that, you can just even ask on Facebook, your Facebook friends, and you say, hey, if you're, you know, say your market are corporates, if you're working corporate, your age between 40 and 50, you're male, can you please give me some feedback? And you get some really good feedback from that specific market.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. That's good, good service from Basic Bananas.
Thank you. Now, is there anything else you wanted to share? And, you know, any last tips? And then I'd also love to share where they can check out your services and how you work, because it's great. Even it's just even just a great case study to look at your brand, actually, because it's very consistent.
Last tip, I think a lot of websites, you know, the imagery that you use in them, or a lot of the communications, you know, getting good photography, or and even you know, buying photography online for your website. I think there's some, you know, really basic ones you pay $1 or $2 for. But if you could really stretch to find something a lot more targeted to your brand, I think that's a really simple way to get the scope of what you do up a notch. So, you know, like even iStock have them, and Getty Images have higher quality royalty-free imagery. So probably for about $200 you could get a really high quality, better image that lifts your whole brand. And if you can't get one, get imagery for photographs especially. But definitely that would be another really simple way
to
up the scale.
Yeah, it makes such a huge difference. But, you know, even for some businesses that we work with, we always just tell them, just take photos as you go along and do stuff. And with the iPhone even, we're recording this episode on an iPhone. The iPhone is a little magic trick box, because you can use it for anything. And the photos that we take on the iPhone nowadays with the filters applied, they're really good. And sometimes, especially for small businesses, I mean, for a bigger business, you can definitely invest into higher quality, more fancy photographs. But for sometimes for a small business, it's so much better to just take your own photos on the go that are pretty good than going for cheap stock.
And then give those photos to a designer and get them to crop them in a more contemporary way and add filters and treat them like, even just to do that would be a good thing.
Exactly. Now, where can people find out more about you and your business?
Thanks. You can find me at internationalcreativeservices.com.au. And there is a blog on there with a whole bunch of different tips on, you know, producing good creative and keeping the job on track. I'll give Christo and Francisca a link to a particular blog I'm thinking about, especially for small business.
Yeah, we'll post it there.
But definitely for even bigger scale productions, you know, major issues like weather management and all sorts of bigger scale things, that's there too.
Perfect. And what are you reading at the moment? What sort of a book are you reading at the moment?
Well, I'm reading a fun thing called Wolf of Wall Street that you got me onto. Yeah. But, and Richard Branson's biography going at the same time.
Yeah.
So I love Richard Branson's story.
Like a Virgin, or what's this? I think it's called something like
that. Like that, Virgin.
Like a Virgin, or something like that. It's pretty good. I think I read it.
And I'm really enjoying this idea of, you know, starting out and having, and he's the master of a really consistent brand. So brand for me applies not just to the look and feel of the stuff that you see, but you know, how you operate as a company, who you are as a person, everything is about the brand there. So,
The Wolf of Wall Street is a good example of brand.
Those
books that actually fit right into the topic. So I'm glad that you mentioned those two books, and they're both a good read.
I like them both.
They're both a good read. That's fantastic. So thank you so much for joining me in Melbourne today.
Pleasure.
We'll come back with some naming. We'll do a little naming episode, because I think a lot of our listeners would really like a bit of a discussion around that too. So until next time, enjoy yourselves and see you soon.
Basic Bananas.